I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to Psalms chapter 8. Psalms chapter 8, verse 3. When I consider Psalms chapter 8, verse 3. Your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained. What is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels. Everybody say a little lower than the angels. Mankind was made a little lower than the angels. This is also speaking of the incarnation of Christ. You, verse 6, it say, in the latter part of verse 5, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. That was man's original purpose, folks, is to have dominion. Amen? Over his creation. Over the earth. Over the things that were created within the earth. And that's why it was necessary for Christ to become a man to redeem us. And we're going to talk about that. Colossians chapter 1, verse 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are at Colossae. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 3, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you as it has also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. As you also learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. Verse 9. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Why is it so important that we pray? It's because nothing happens unless you pray. God gave us authority on the earth, but we have to call that which is in heaven to the earth through prayer. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us. Who has? The Father has done what? Qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. That which Jesus has accomplished and procured for us, God is allowing us to be partakers of the divine nature. He's allowing us to be, amen, a participant in the activities that He's doing in the earth and to represent Him. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. He, Christ, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Jesus told Philip, Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen my Father also. Christ is the express image of the Father. God became a man. We were able to see Him and handle Him and hear Him. For by Him, Christ, all things were created that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him. They were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things. And Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence. Who was Jesus? Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the Word. It tells us in John 1 and verse 1, amen, that became flesh. God became a man. He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. They're held by the power of the Word. When God spoke the Word, it happened. They don't even know what's holding the earth in its place. We know. It's the Word of God that is holding everything in its place. And so, in order for God to fix the problem, whereas man had been given that dominion, had been given that authority in the very beginning, he would has made a little lower than the angels. And because we had failed to obey God and to produce a pure offspring in the earth, instead we have tainted offspring, for sin has passed on from generation to generation from Adam, and we've all been born into Adam, and we've received a sin nature even before we were born. That because of the position that man was in and the word that the Father spoke concerning mankind, that He gave him this dominion, He gave him this authority, that the only way to solve this problem, to fix this problem, was for God Himself to come in the likeness of Adam. Are you with me? And to deal with the sin issue. By doing that which Adam, the first Adam, had failed to do. That was obey the Father perfectly. And to produce a pure offspring. God had created this man and He'd placed him in the garden. He said, be fruitful and multiply. And when God finished His creation, He said, it is good. However, sin entered the picture and it became marred. And every one of us understand too well the consequences of sin and what it does and how it has affected everything, not only ourselves, but creation itself is groaning within itself, waiting for the day when God will bring full redemption. Even the earth will be restored someday. But it's because God gave man the dominion over this that everything under it also fell and became corrupted. And that is why when a people and a nation commit sin against God, the earth itself becomes defiled. And the earth eventually revolts against the sinfulness of that people. Folks, do you see what's happening? It has to do with the authority structure of God. And so in Hebrews chapter 2 now, in verse 9, we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, just like you and I, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for Him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things. Who is that? God the Son. He is deity. Who put on, if you will, a body. of flesh, in bringing many sons to glory. What did God want to do? He wanted sons and daughters. When it talks about sons, it means man and woman. He created them, right? Male and female. He created man, male and female. Man means male and female. Why? Woman came out of man. She's the same substance. Don't get bent out of shape. If it doesn't mention ladies in here. We're the same substance. And someone said, I heard one time that Eve was a little more refined. Because Adam came out of dirt, but she came out of a rib. So, and I think I can agree with that. Would you say amen to that, brothers? In bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. In other words, Jesus would experience those things that we experience. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one. Now listen to this. For this reason, he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Now see, this is a place where the cults will get a hold of this and twist this scripture. And try to reduce Jesus down to just the level of a man. He was much more than a man. He was the God-man. He was God that became a man. Amen? And there is a God-man in the heavens. The man, Christ Jesus, who represents us there. So there is a connection, a reconnection between heaven and earth. And God is restoring all things. There's going to be a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. So this is only for a season. Thank you, Jesus. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 says this, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, here it is again, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. What that means is he emptied himself of his privileges. God the Son, God Almighty, the Son, came to this earth in the form of a seed. Amen? That was implanted in the womb of a virgin who had never known a man so that the blood would not be linked, all right, to Adam. Because without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. So the blood in Christ had to be pure. And not only that, he had to also live according to the requirements of God's law perfectly without sin. So then he could become the sacrifice for sin. And God placed upon him the sins of us all. So that you and I could receive forgiveness. So that you and I could have our sins blotted out. So that you and I could be restored to our original place as sons and daughters of the Most High God. That not only that, but we could be heirs to the throne. Wow. Listen, he emptied himself of his privileges. In other words, even though he was God in the flesh with a body, he emptied himself of the privileges he had. To even at any time, as he spoke in Gethsemane, that I could call on 12 angels, legions of angels. I could pray my Father and he'd send 12 legions of angels to my defense. But Jesus resolved to do one thing, that was to live according to the plan of the Father for the purpose of redemption so you and I could have hope. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And verse 8 says, being found in appearance, only in appearance as a man. He was more than that. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 21 says this, for since by man came death, who's that? Adam. By man also came the resurrection of the dead, Christ. For in Adam all die, even so Christ, in Christ all shall be made alive. Verse 45, And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Verse 47, the first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. A new race, folks. A new beginning. A new creation, if any man be in Christ. Ho! Oh. We're just carrying around some of that old dead man with us, yes, but we are a new creation in Christ Jesus. That part of that new race of the last Adam. That we might produce, are you hearing this? An offspring. A pure offspring. It was God's intention to bring many sons to glory. Born of Him. Born of God. Born of the Spirit. Christ was that corn of wheat that fell to the ground. And as a result, there's been a harvest of many souls, many sons and daughters coming in, amen, to the faith of Christ. So Jesus took upon Himself the form of a servant. He took upon Himself, you know, it really means a bondservant. He didn't come riding on a king's horse, folks. He came as a humble servant because He had a mission. And because He came to reach out and to seek and to save that which was lost. So He lived within a limited human body. And what Christ also demonstrated for us, and this is one of the points I really want to make today, is that we can say, well, that was Jesus. Yes, He was God in the flesh, but He emptied Himself of His privileges to become a man just like you and I. To demonstrate to us that we can live a life that pleases the Father. That we can bear fruit. That we can pray for the sick. That we can heal the sick. That we can raise the dead. He is our great high priest. He is the head of the church. He is the Lord of lords. But God's purpose was to bring many sons into glory. And therefore, we are also kings and priests unto our God. He is the capital K, and we are the little K. He's the big king, we're the little kings representing Him. He is the big L, we are the little L. He is in heaven, we are the body on the earth that will stretch out and expand and advance the kingdom of God. And the knowledge of the Lord, the Bible declares, shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Day is coming when every nation, every kindred, every tribe, every tongue, every man, woman born throughout history will bow their knee to Jesus Christ. Hebrews 2:17 says, therefore in all things He had to be made like His brethren. Like who? Like Adam. The first Adam. That He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. To make propitiation for the sins of the people. That means to make it possible for us to receive forgiveness. Propitiation means mercy seat. It's where the blood would be sprinkled on the mercy seat in the most holy place. In heaven, there is a mercy seat. Heaven is a temple. And God sits on the mercy seat. He sits on His throne. And you and I have been called to a priesthood. To represent His interests. Amen? To pray, to make intercession on behalf of others. And to offer sacrifices acceptable. We bring the sacrifice of praise. Aren't you glad we don't have to slay an animal? We can just be thankful and praise the Lord. And offer our bodies to Him for service. Whatever you want, Lord. So even though He was God in the flesh, He emptied Himself of His privileges as deity to commit Himself fully to the will of the Father and accomplish that which the first Adam had failed to do, and that is to walk in perfect obedience to the Father, bear witness to the truth, reveal the Father to us, deal with the sin problem, and begin the process of bringing many sons to glory. A new race of Adam. That is, the offspring of God through Christ Jesus, the last Adam. Woo! God gave me that. Jesus demonstrated to us the potential to live a life pleasing to the Father through an abiding union with Him. Now, we ask the question because we look at Jesus and quite frankly, I'm amazed when you look at the life of Christ, how awesome His life was, how powerful His ministry. God gave Him the Spirit without measure. We have a measure, but God gave Him the Spirit without measure. But we do see how Jesus, through His example, demonstrated that if you and I would learn the secrets of the kingdom, and folks, it's not a great mystery. He's saying what you need is a relationship with Me and the Father. If you will pray and seek My face and get to know Me and know My voice and listen to My instruction, whatever He says comes to pass. Whatever He declares shall come to pass. If God speaks a word, it shall happen. So don't use the excuse, and I've used it too, but that was Jesus, as an excuse to live below the potential that we have in Christ. Come on. We live below our potential, and it's due to unbelief. What we need to do is understand what God has said about His church. What God has said about people that have come into covenant with Him. Who we are and what we're actually capable of doing. I mean, folks, I didn't say it, but Jesus said, those who believe in Me, right? If you believe Me, He said, the works that I do, you shall do also. It's John 14 and 17. And greater works than these, because I go to My Father, I'm going to believe what Jesus said. I'm going to have to adjust myself to fit into what He says. Not try to make God fit into who I want Him to be. Come on. You know, fashion a God to suit myself. Well, to me, God's like this. God's like that. No, He's not. God doesn't change. You need to find out who He is and you need to conform into His image. Thank you, Lord. Come on. We all fight and struggle with unbelief at times. Do we really believe what God has said about us? To as many as received Him, to them He gave the authority to become the sons of God. By adoption, yes. But sons of God, nonetheless, we've been allowed to come in under our Father's roof. And if we're under our Father's roof, that means that we also have authority as heirs to the throne. And if the Lord, our elder brother Jesus, gave us a commission, gave us a responsibility, He says, I want you to go and preach this gospel in all the world, and I will be with you. Then what do? Okay. I've been given the authority already. Don't be waiting for it. It's there already. What we need is obedience. Ouch. We need to step out. When you obey God, He backs His word up. He's waiting for you to move. He's waiting for me to move. Jesus even refused, folks, to defend Himself when it was in His power to do so. He could have come up with a great defense, but He was silent. He had given Himself fully to the will of His Father, but it was for the joy set before Him that He did this. Joy that many sons and daughters would be brought, amen, into glory. It was out of love that He came. It was out of love that He died for us. It was really, folks, about you. It was about you that He came. It was about a bride that He gave Himself fully for. A people that He gave Himself for. Do you hear it today? You are so loved of the Lord. You are His possession. You are His bride. How many husbands here would give themselves for their wives? You would give yourself for your bride. If you love your bride, amen? But it was for this reason He died, that He might bring you and I back in to right relationship with Him, to be receive that sonship, that ring on our finger, them sandals on our feet, that robe on our back that says, I belong here. I'm part of the family. And if I'm part of the family, then what my Father says applies to me. What God says I can do, I can do. Oh, but that was Jesus. Jesus said, you go now in my name. Freely you have received, now freely give. As the Father has sent me, so send I you. I'm sending you now. You are going to continue where I left off. And we can do that in confidence if we have our faith in what God said, what our Father says about us. And what we're doing is we're getting to know who He is and who we are. As we get to know our position in Christ and what has been freely given to us in Christ, it changes the way that we live. We live holy lives. We live lives that please Him. We live for His glory. We want to love Him. We want to serve Him. When we realize how much He loves us, you can't help but love Him back. You know where the power of God really comes from? It comes from you realizing just how much God loves you, just what God has done for you, the lengths He went to ensure that you could be forgiven and restored back into the family. That's how much He loves you. And when you hear that and you know that in your spirit, it changes you. You no longer want to do anything that would disappoint your Father. You don't want to do anything that would grieve your Father. You just want to live for His pleasure. How many like to do good things for people you love? How many know that holy living is a result of understanding how much God loves you? And it's also a proof that you love Him. Romans 8:15 says this, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are, and if children then, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Folks, this is what the Word of God says. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Galatians 4 and verse 6, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, the Holy Spirit in our hearts, crying out, Daddy, right? Jesus said, a servant does not remain in the house, but a son remains in the house. A son knows who he is, that he's family, that he can come into the house when he desires, folks, when he desires. Because Christ has given us access because of the blood to come when we desire to our Father and to speak to our Father. Now, sometimes we have to humble ourselves and say, Father, if I've sinned, please forgive me. And that's what he's waiting for. He says, of course I forgive you, son. That's what the cross was all about. I know that you didn't mean it. How many here would deliberately go out and sin? Don't raise your hand. By this you know those who belong to him, you see. If you really know him, then you don't do those things that hurt him. Because when you really know him, you can't help but love him. Because to know him is to love him. You can't know he who is love and not have love for him. And your love is demonstrated in that you do those things that please him. Jesus says, I always do what pleases my Father. And he gave us an example that we're supposed to do the same thing. To always do what pleases the Father. How many know that if you do a good thing for your dad's going to bless you? If you have a good dad, he's going to say, son, you did a good job today. I'm going to take you out for some ice cream. What? But you know what? God is also gracious. And that means that we don't always get what we deserve. He does good things for us even when we don't deserve it. And sometimes people mistake that. Okay? And they think, well, I know God loves me, but they do these things that continue to grieve him. Because God is gracious. And because he doesn't immediately, when we mess up, take us out and paddle us. So sometimes people just think, well, I'm going to continue doing this. Nothing happened. How many know that there are consequences for your actions? And sometimes you may not know it until it's too late. Like Samson. But our Father loves his children. He wants you to be blessed. Who does not want to bless their own children? You want your children to be around your table, loving on you, right? Want to be around you, hang out with you? So it is with our Father in heaven. He wants us to hang out with him. He wants us to have him in that place of our greatest esteem. In our lives, the greatest place belongs to him. The highest seat belongs to him. I'm almost through. Because we are heirs of the throne. We are children of God. We have not seen the full revelation yet. Scripture tells us that. But positionally, that's who we are. And because of the price that was paid to purchase you and I from Satan and to bring us back into relationship, into his kingdom, I want you to hear this. God the Father does not want his kids to feel unworthy of him. That is heresy. I'm so unworthy. In yourself, you are unworthy. But Christ qualified us. He made you worthy. When He took care of the sin problem at the cross, where the blood has availed for me, I can come confidently before the throne of grace. He has made me worthy as a son and daughter to come before Him now in confidence and knowing that when I call on my dad, He's going to answer. Faith in what God promises will change everything. Not faith in your own performance, not faith based upon what you know of yourself, but faith in what Jesus has accomplished for us sets me free from the law of sin and death. Oh, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Those who walk with Him in relationship have confidence in Him because you know just what He's feeling. You know what He's thinking. He's speaking to you because you walk with Him. If you spend enough time together in a relationship with someone, you get to know that person. You get to know, if I say this, this is going to be the result. There's a certain way that I need to walk and be around this person so that there can be harmony, there can be peace between us. And when we walk carefully with the Lord, we have peace. Amen? And let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Sin brings shame. Sometimes, folks, it's simply the adversary lying to you and trying to get you to doubt who God says you are. He will remind you of your failures. He will remind you of your past. But we need to remember what God has said in His Word. Amen? It's not about feeling like Corinne said. It is about what God says. And faith in what God says changes everything. The whole perspective changes. I'm not walking. There are people, even Christians, who walk in fear. And they walk in a place of condemnation. And they're constantly having to get re-saved and come up. And they're, every week they're getting saved because they have not accepted what God has already said. Are you hearing me today? It's the revelation of the truth that sets you free. When I don't feel worthy, I just simply remember what God said. Jesus said, those who come to Me, I will in no wise cast out. The enemy will say, oh, you don't want to go to God. Do you remember what you did? You need to be like Adam. You need to hide in shame and stay. Instead of coming to church and coming into the light or coming into your prayer closet with God, instead He wants you to run away and hide. If you blow it, the best place to go is to Him. Because that's where mercy is. That's where His grace is free. Any good father is not going to reject a son who wants to come home. Our Father loves us that much. That even though we've blown it, He will always leave the light on for us. I'm just waiting for you to come home, son. And then when we come home, we say, oh yeah. Man, it's good in my Father's house. Why was I eating from the pig pen when I could be eating at my Father's table, enjoying His fellowship? The joy, the peace, the righteousness that encompasses me in Him. You know? Well, I told you I was almost through. We are worthy because Christ took away our reproach. Colossians 1 and 12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us, not by works of righteousness that we have done, but by His own mercy, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Thank you, Lord. Let me just say this in closing. Yes, it is true that those who refuse to bow their knee to Christ, the wrath of God rests upon them. They will not come into life. They will be lost for eternity. But to those of us who say, yes, I receive the love of God that He has given for me when He sent His Son to die on my behalf, I receive the love of God in my heart that says, I will now live for His pleasure, that I might live a way that's going to honor my Father, that I might see His kingdom to come and His will be done. Based upon the mercies of God, it is our reasonable service to offer our bodies now a living sacrifice to God. For the rest of our days, folks, God is calling every single person in this place to serve Him the rest of your life. Not just doing the church thing. I'm talking about serve Him every day of your life. Walk with your Father as a child, as a son, as a daughter. Amen? But to those who have surrendered their lives to Christ, there is mercy from God the Father and acceptance into His household with full rights as a son. We have full rights today as sons and daughters. If you are in Christ Jesus, if the Spirit of Christ is in you, then you have full rights as sons and daughters. I'm going to say it until everybody's going, yes. This is what the Word of God says. It's not my gospel, it's the gospel of the kingdom. You have been given rights. And therefore, we're not left alone. We're not orphans. We're family. And we're the household of God. And therefore, since we're siblings, we have to love one another. We have to get along. We have to, yeah, I know. You have to love me, brother. But I'm going to try to make it easy for you, so. Do you know it doesn't take a lot of work? It doesn't really take a lot of work to get along with people. Most people. Sometimes it just takes a little effort on both parts. On both parts. So if we are in the household of God this morning, we are the family of God, it just takes a little effort on both parts. But if only one side is willing to reconcile and the other does not, it's kind of hard to reconcile that, isn't it? How many know that the Lord does not want us to have any division and any schisms? He doesn't want us to have any animosity towards anyone. He doesn't want us to harbor any unforgiveness. He doesn't want us to hold any grudges against any brother or sister. He wants us to walk in love and walk together as a family. Because I don't know how it was in your home, but when my brother and I were duking it out, you know, and I used to get the best of him, though, most of the time. But in our household, you know, if a couple of the kids aren't getting along, it just messes it up for everybody. Mom and dad aren't happy when the kids are fighting. And the kids aren't happy when mom and dad are fighting. Guess what? You don't have to worry about that one in the kingdom. Yeah. Amen? The Trinity gets along just perfect. It's you and I that need to learn how to love. How to work on things, work out relationships. How would we ever learn what grace is if we weren't tested in it? How would we learn the grace of forgiveness unless we weren't tested in it? Yeah. Jesus learned obedience through the things He suffered. It didn't mean that He gave into it, but it meant He experienced the same things we did. He had every temptation brought against Him. He had every reason to be offended by things that people were saying about him, people that were lying about him, but he chose not to go there. He committed everything to the Father. He says, Father, you see everything. Father, you take care of everything. And it's the same thing with us. When people come against you and people say things, they hurt your feelings, they didn't shake your hand Sunday morning, whatever it might have been, you just take it to your Father and say, Father, I just give it to you. I'm going to choose to do the right thing here, and I'm going to love that one. If we would just love one another and not be waiting for everybody to love us, we'd get along fine. Because it's usually selfish ambition that causes division. You know? Yeah, they didn't pay any attention to me. What's wrong with them? It's like, go love on them. Don't wait for them to come to you. I'm here to tell you that I, in all honesty, I have a clear conscience. And I love every one of you. I don't have any animosity in my heart, any bitterness, unforgiveness towards anyone. Even though I probably have a reason to. No, I'm kidding. But you know, these folks know what it's like to be in ministry and stuff happens, you know. You just don't, you don't accept, you don't receive that, right, Brother Frank? You just don't receive that stuff. You say, no, I'm not receiving it. Because the devil say, would you like this? Would you like to take up that offense? Walk around fretting and complaining and spatting about this person and that person. And no. We're going to walk in obedience. We're going to walk in love. We're going to receive the grace of God, and we're going to show grace to one another. Just like He did for us, we can do for others. We're going to partake of the Lord's Supper here in a few minutes. And we need to understand something, that we are the body of Christ, right? No mystery, no great revelation. But because of that, we need to realize that we belong to one another. We are connected to one another. And because of that, we must walk in forgiveness. Because if we do not, we can allow a bitter root of offense to come in, and it will begin to poison our fellowship. And when that poison begins to flow, it disrupts the harmony and the unity. And it begins to shut off the flow of life. It begins to literally die. A spiritual gangrene sets in and it becomes an awful thing. How many of you have ever seen that, experienced that in churches before? So we need to kick that devil out and don't allow that thing to come and get on you. If you have anything right now, I'd like you to bow your heads. If you have anything right now in your heart, ask the Holy Spirit right now to show you if there's anything. And He's unconfessed sin today. If there's any unforgiveness towards anyone who has hurt you in your past, ask Him to show it to you. If you see that face right now, I want you to speak to that person and release them. Say, I forgive you in the name of Jesus. I release you. The debt is canceled and you owe me nothing. You are free to go. Some of you, God is going to show you several people. Just take this moment right now. Holy Spirit, show us right now. Reveal to us the areas of our hearts right now where there's unconfessed sin. God's going to reveal some of you have unconfessed sin today. As He reveals it to you, simply say, Jesus, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I receive your forgiveness today. Thank you for shedding your blood for me, that I could be free from the shame of sin. I receive your forgiveness today. Thank you, Lord. If there's anyone else in my life that I haven't forgiven, show it to me now, Lord.